You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 3rd of June 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, just to let listeners know, I did an interview yesterday with Radio Free South Africa, and we went into a lot of topics, and it would probably make quite a good interview for people that are new to this sort of thing, new to nationalism, new to revisionism. So I do recommend it. You'll find it in the interview section at the website. And I should be doing another interview at the weekend with Dennis Fetch on his Inside the Eye program. And I will let you know more about that later on in the week. Okay, today we're just going to have to be talking more about these Black Lives Matter protests. This is the main news. The situation is still ongoing in America with riots and looting, and we are now seeing other protests pop up around Europe, particularly in Britain. We had one in London at the weekend that I will get into a little bit later. But we're now even seeing members of Parliament standing up in the Houses of Parliament, the British Houses of Parliament, and pledging support for the riots and looting in America. And just unbelievable. I could not believe it this morning. There were two MPs saying Black Lives Matter in the Houses of Parliament. I mean, what do they think they are doing by saying that? What they're doing is they're showing support for the looting and the rioting in America. Do they seriously believe that the police are discriminating against black people for some reason? So they're insulting the police by saying that. They're insulting white people by implying that white people's lives don't matter. Only the black lives matter. Just incredible. There was one MP that asked Boris Johnson whether he would condemn the American police using tear gas in the protests. So what are they doing there? They're making it quite clear that they believe that the police should just stand down and let the gangbangers just ravage the city, ruin the city, loot and riot and destroy everything. She was saying, will the Prime Minister look into not selling the America tear gas and rubber bullets? Because they shouldn't be using them against the rioters. And then she said, will the Prime Minister review the fines for blacks that are breaking the lockdown rules in Britain? Apparently twice as many of them have been fined as their percentage of the population. So according to her, that means that it must be racism. Can't possibly be that the blacks are more likely to actually break the lockdown rules. And I would suggest that by looking at the figures for the number of them that have got coronavirus, that sort of does confirm that they are more likely to break the lockdown rules, doesn't it? And these MPs, they're saying this seriously. And you can expect countries like Iran and China to be trolling America, which they are doing. It's quite hilarious, actually, when you look at the comments that China and Iran have put out. The world is watching America. We stand with the oppressed American people. Just mirroring the tweets that Donald Trump sent out when there were riots and looting happening in Iran and riots and looting happening in Hong Kong. Which obviously they're doing it with a sense of humour. But these British MPs are doing it seriously. they are seriously standing up and saying that they support these riots that are happening over in America. Do they have any idea of what an MP should really be doing? I saw a Dominic Cummings article earlier this week, and in it he was pointing out that the MPs are pretty much useless. They get voted in just because the public like them because of some media appearance, and they don't actually know anything about the departments that they're put in. And in actual fact, we should have experts running these departments. And this is something that I've always thought. Before I was even a nationalist, I can remember the Labour Party, and they promoted someone who used to be a postman to being in charge of the economy. And this is not to knock postmen. I think postmen do a great job. But they're not economists. I mean, why would you put somebody with no experience in financial matters in charge of the economy? But that is the system that we have. We think we should just put people that know nothing about what they're actually doing and just put them in charge of in charge of departments. It's no wonder that our country has gone to the dogs, as they say, and America is certainly going that way. I mean, this could be the end of the American empire. If coronavirus wasn't bad enough, now we've got the equivalent of a Bolshevik revolution happening over there. And half the politicians are supporting it, and the journalists are encouraging it. And it's been interesting to see the way that these journalists are saying, oh, "How dare the police? I've been shot by a rubber bullet." Well, the police probably see what the journalists are doing as encouraging these riots, the same as the politicians are. But to have a look at what's been happening in Britain. And this is very, very hypocritical as well. I mean, basically what they're doing is they're saying that if you're black, you shouldn't ever be arrested and you should be allowed to break the law. And only white people should be charged with breaking the law. The George Floyd protests took a global turn over the weekend as Antifa and Black Lives Matter activists took to the streets of London to stand up to racism and to celebrate the riots engulfing the United States, which they claim is a signal that the West is falling. Well, I agree with them that the West is falling, but I don't agree with them that this is them standing up to racism. How can they say that America is racist when it had a black president, when Donald Trump has done more for black people than any other president before him? He's let loads of them out of prison. He's put loads of programs in place to get them employed, and they're still going to call him a racist. It doesn't matter what you do. If you're white, you will always be seen as a racist by blacks. And I think part of it is that they know that we are capable of a lot more than we are doing. And I think they look at us and they think, do you think I would be doing that if I was white? Do you think I'd be behaving as if I was black, if I was white, if I had the power and the intellect of a white man? Do you think I'd be behaving like a gang member from the ghetto? And I do seriously think that's the way they look at a lot of us. And they just think, just look at the white man just squandering his gifts. And I think that's it. That is at the root of a lot of it. Maybe whether they know that or not is a different matter. But I definitely think that is an instinct that is there with them. I mean, when you think that they're constantly being told that we have this mythical white privilege, well, why don't we do something with it then? In stark contrast to the arrests of peaceful anti-lockdown protesters in Hyde Park the day before, the Metropolitan Police took no actions to stop the left-wing demonstration that lasted well into the evening and spanned several miles of the city. And of course, the anti-lockdown protesters in Hyde Park the day before, they were white. So a number of them got arrested. I think most of the protests got arrested. There really weren't that many people there. Jeremy Corbyn's brother, he was one of the ones that were arrested. But of course, with a large protest full of blacks, oh, well, no, you can't arrest them because that would be racist. It's time to wake up and get out of the house and F this place up, man. I'm tired of this shit. We need to burn this shit down. I don't care what the London mayor says. The West is falling, the West is falling, screamed a Black Lives Matter speaker in Trafalgar Square. So that's coming out of a PA system in the middle of Trafalgar Square. Let's burn the place down. And a certain sentiment in this is saying, well, they're entitled to burn the place down because they're the ones that built it. I mean, we have become so brainwashed and so entrenched in this false reality that we've been given that we actually have white people that think that Britain and America were built by blacks. This is a certain narrative that's going on in America right now. Well, it belongs to them anyway. It belongs to the blacks anyway, because America was built on slavery. Doesn't matter if they destroy everything. And this is why they're saying the police should not be firing on the protesters. They're saying, well, it's only property that's being destroyed. It's not like it's somebody's life. So the police shouldn't be attacking the blacks. They built America. It was built on the backs of slavery. You know, that narrative completely fails to address the fact that the slaves didn't build America. They worked on farms and they were paid for doing their work on the farm. The same as people are paid for doing their work on the farms today. They got the roof over their head. They got their clothes paid for. They got their food paid for. They got their medical costs paid for. They got a pension paid for when they were too old to work. They had any children that they had, they were paid for. It was called slavery. But the only difference really with being employed today is that you get the choice of where you're going to spend your money. Back then, the slave owner paid for all of that. And don't forget, the slave owner had also paid the equivalent of £10,000 for each one of those slaves that he had. He certainly wasn't going to mistreat them. But there's this narrative that because of slavery, it's okay for black people to destroy things. And then as well as that, we've got the propensity that black people have to just burn things down. I mean, remember Ferguson? Burn this bitch down is what young lad that was killed, what his mother said, and his father, I think, let's burn this bitch down. And we've got the same thing here. We've got a Black Lives Matter speaker screeching into the microphone, let's burn this shit down. I don't care what the London mayor says. And unless we think this is all just black people, a young left-wing white woman then urged the native population of Britain to use your white privilege and help our brothers and sisters. Use your white privilege, because we are the only people, because we created the system that helps the police cover up all these deaths. As if the police don't ever kill white people. Far more white people are killed by the police than blacks. This white privilege, it doesn't exist. The police at the moment in Oxford are advertising only for non-white people to apply for the job of being the police. How is that racist? How can they say that the police are covering up these black deaths and killing all these black people just because they don't like the colour of their skin? Black people are far more likely to commit crimes than whites. Every country in the world that keeps statistics has exactly the same statistics. And black people are more likely than whites to resist arrest. They're more likely to try to kill the police officer that is trying to arrest them. That is the reason for a lot of these deaths in custody. This recent one with Floyd George, that was obviously manslaughter. That was obviously wrong. The police officer should never have had his knee on the man's neck. But I'm sure he will be found guilty for that. There are plenty of white people that have been killed with their hands up, obviously not resisting arrest, that have been shot. There was a white woman that called up the police because she was worried of, I think she could hear a burglar or something like that. And she came to answer the door to the police, and a black Somalian female police officer shot and killed her. And nobody's mentioning that. And that's exactly the same situation as we have here, but there was no riots. There was no accusations of this being racist. That it must be racist because it was a different race that had killed this woman. And yet we're being told that this is racism. This is police racism that killed George Floyd, even though the police officer that did it actually has a non-white wife. Another Black Lives Matter protester said, I stand in the face of racism every single day, like we all do. We are all here because we are experiencing secondary trauma from the brutalization that we experienced based on the fact that racism is embedded in the very structure of this society. Well, before it was a multicultural society, 100 years ago, there was no racism in Britain. And if people feel that there is racism today, all they have to do is go back to their homeland, and then there would be no racism. The problem of racism would be solved. Racism can only come about if you are mixing different races together in one territory, which is a guaranteed recipe for disaster. All you have to do is look back in history at everywhere that it's been tried, and just look at what happened to Yugoslavia. Everywhere that you try and mix different races together, you end up with war. And it doesn't even have to be different races. It can just be closely related different nations in the same territory. People that look exactly the same as one another. If they're from different cultures and they're in the same territory, then you're going to end up with civil war. Because you can only have one culture. You can't have different cultures competing within the same territory, because there will always be this competition. And as far as blacks and non-whites are concerned, it's unjustified discrimination. It's prejudice. But as I've pointed out so many times, it's not prejudice. It's post-Judas. We can see the statistics. We can see the way blacks are behaving in America now, rioting and looting. So to say that blacks are likely to riot and loot when they protest is not racism. And that's not prejudiced. It's basic logic and pattern recognition from what we see going on. Following the mass gathering in Trafalgar Square, the demonstrators took to the streets of the British capital, stopping outside Downing Street, where they chanted F Boris and F the police. So you've got a people here that are deliberately being antagonizing the police. They're deliberately setting themselves up as being anti the police, and the police just stand down and don't do anything, because it's black people that are doing this, and they apparently can do whatever they like, and we just have to stand back. There are instances in America of these white police bending down on their knees to these black protesters. Literally bending down on their knees, bowing down to them and worshipping these people that are destroying the city. And what does this say to the blacks? It says, well, any time you're not getting what you want, all you have to do is burn the place down and they'll give you what you want. We've got lawyers associations that are paying for the rioters to be sprung out of prison. We've got lawyers that have been caught throwing Molotov cocktails and helping, these riots happen in New York. It's a deliberate setup that's going on over there to discredit Donald Trump and to bring the military in on the streets, I think. There's all these pallets of bricks that keep appearing around the place, and all these containers full of gasoline helpfully placed around so that people can throw them and set fire to things. But even besides that, this is the sort of thing that we see go on when you get lots of blacks together on the streets, whether it's happening in South Africa, whether it's happening in Brazil, whether it's happening in America, or whether it's happening in Croydon. These race riots will always happen when you have blacks living alongside whites. You will still get them burning the place down, even when they're living just among their own people. But at least then, they're not going to be destroying things of so much value as our civilization, which is what's going to end up being destroyed by this if we don't separate. Let's have a closer look at the people involved in putting on this demonstration in London. Two young women have been revealed as organising the London protests over the killing of George Floyd, which sparked violence on the capital's streets. Thousands of Black Lives Matter protesters defied a ban on mass gatherings to rally at Trafalgar Square on Sunday before making their way to the gates of Downing Street and then south of the river towards the US Embassy. And they tried to break in through the gates of Downing Street as well. And they weren't arrested for that, of course. Thousands of them there are here. And don't forget, we've been told that we're supposed to be staying at home, or we're supposed to just be going to see a limited number of six people. And yet you've got a mob of mainly black people, thousands of them, all gathering together like this, the same as they are in America, while at the same time telling us that it's oppression and racism that is the reason why they are more likely to catch the coronavirus. I think we're going to see lots more black people catching the coronavirus after these protests. That's if it's still out there and it hasn't been completely minimized by the hot weather. I think we will see a huge increase in coronavirus among the blacks. And once again, they will just blame white people for it, rather than the fact that they were out gathering when they shouldn't be. And the police, instead of arresting them, have just let them do this. I mean, the very fact that thousands of them are here protesting and not getting arrested, it tends to show that those black people that did get tickets that the MP was complaining about, that was actually far less than should have been given tickets. Today, 18-year-old Aima and Tash, 21, were named as posting a series of hard-hitting social media messages, slamming Britain for being a racist country and claiming that police brutality will kill black people before coronavirus does. Yes, Britain is a racist country. It's racist against white people. White people are told we can't even use our own language because it might hurt the feelings of black people. We are told that we don't need to apply to join the police because we only want black people in the police. We're told not to apply to be scriptwriters for the BBC because they only want black and minority ethnic scriptwriters for the job. We have the most deprived youngsters in Britain as far as going to university is concerned. But is there programs to help our young white working class into university? No, there isn't. We've got all these programs to help black people into university, regardless of whether they're actually going to be capable of the high standards that are required for university. And of course, when they're not capable of those high standards, they're going to blame racist whites for that fact, instead of just accepting that they have a different IQ to us, they have a different culture to us, and universities have never been a part of their history. They're better at doing different things than university sort of things. Better at doing things like sports, for instance. But Aima and Tash's claims are not grounded in evidence. As analysis by the charity Inquest reveals, there has been 99 black and minority ethnic deaths in Metropolitan Police custody, or following officer contact, such as shootings, not in the last year, but in the last 30 years. So in the last 30 years, there has been under 100 black and minority ethnic deaths in Metropolitan Police custody. And yet these race hustlers claiming police brutality is going to kill all black people before coronavirus does. In contrast, COVID-19 has killed 5,956 people in London since the start of the pandemic, and data in late April found that black and minority ethnic victims accounted for 16% of overall deaths, which extrapolated to today's total would be around 953. And in actual fact, that's far less than you would expect, because London is 60% non-British, probably 70% non-British now, and probably 60% non-white. So you would expect blacks to be 60% of overall deaths of COVID in London, and they're not. They're only 16%. So once again, this idea that they are disproportionately affected by COVID-19 is just a scam. To blame the white man once again. In a Twitter video posted after Sunday's demonstration, she declared, that's Aima, "You guys are saying that the corona pandemic will kill us, but police brutality will kill us first. I'm already risking my life on a daily basis. Corona's not going to kill me before the police kill me." How is she risking her life on a daily basis? How? She's been given everything over here in Britain. Her life in Africa would have meant that she didn't even have clothes to wear. And yet she's over here in Britain, she's been given an education, she's got a health service, there's a system of law and order. She can go to the police if she's robbed or mugged or the law is broken against her. She can even go to the police if she thinks that white people are criticising her or somehow discriminating against her. And yet she says Britain is a racist country and she's risking her life on a daily basis. In a video of her addressing the crowd at Sunday's demonstration, which was captioned "A Young Black Queen," Aima declares, "The reason that I'm out here is that I'm scared for all my brothers and sisters. I want us all to spread the message that our lives bloody matter, black lives matter, and I'm tired of all the abuse and harassment and brutality from the police." And she gets support for this. She gets people in Parliament saying black lives matter. And what do we get when we say it's okay to be white? We're accused of being white supremacists. We're accused of being racists. Our people get locked up for putting stickers up that just simply say it's okay to be white. They're not saying only black lives matter. They're just saying it's okay to be white, the same as it's okay to be white, it's okay to be black, it's okay to be Chinese, it's okay to be non-white. By saying it's okay to be white, it's a universal thing, isn't it? But saying black lives matter is implying that other lives don't matter. In response to a Twitter post criticising protesters for not socially distancing, she said, "The UK is so racist. It's blaming activism on something the government has failed to protect us from since March." And that is, so she's basically saying, it doesn't matter if they all go out and break the lockdown and catch coronavirus because of that. It's not their fault for catching it. It's racism. It's the government's fault because we failed to protect them from it. It doesn't matter what the white man does. He is always going to be accused of being racist and always going to be accused of being the source of the black man's problems. In another post, she wrote, "When I was growing up, it was all my white friends shoplifting and that. We learned violence from you." Really? Really? In Britain, we used to have one of the least violent countries in the world. We used to be the envy of the world for the law and order and peaceful society that we had in Britain. And when we look at Africa, it's always been the most violent society in the world. And of course, to say that, I would be accused of being racist for pointing out facts. Facts and reality are racist. Following Sunday's protest, Aima was also interviewed by the BBC World Service, claiming that she never expected so many people to attend. When have you seen anyone that put up a sticker saying it's okay to be white being interviewed by the BBC World Service, so that they could get their view across? The racism is not against black people, the racism is against whites. She also accused the Metropolitan Police of being institutionally racist, claiming that she had decided to organise the protest because she wanted to take a stand. Well, again, the Metropolitan Police are institutionally racist against whites. They're advertising only for non-white people to apply for the new police jobs in Oxford. Aima claimed that British police looked at her differently compared to her white friends, and that it dehumanised many young black men in particular. Well, if the police had looked at her exactly the same, she wouldn't like that either, because what they are saying here is that we shouldn't just be looking at black people as equal to us. We should be bending over backwards to do extra things for them, because somehow we have this white privilege that they don't have. So we have to even that up by giving them extra jobs and saying that they don't have to have the same qualifications as everybody else in order to get the job. We have to give them special protections from being criticised. So if the police did look at her as being the same as everybody else, she wouldn't want that. She would be complaining about that. That's what they were complaining about before. And now they complain that they're being looked at differently. And to be honest, a sensible policeman would be looking at young black men differently to young white men, because statistically they are far more likely to carry a knife, they're far more likely to resist arrest, they're far more likely to be involved in violent crime. So you would expect a sensible police officer, whether they're white, black or Chinese, to be particularly careful around black males. But again, that's racist, apparently, to recognise patterns. You can recognise patterns everywhere else, but if you recognise patterns that have anything to do with race, then that's a taboo subject and you should be ostracised from society. Referring to the killing of George Floyd, she said, "I think it really made me take a look at the police system all around the world. I have always been focusing on institutional racism in America, but it really made me look in the UK. I have realised that there's so much institutional racism in the UK police." Well, quite clearly she hasn't, because she didn't see those figures, that there's only been 99 black people killed in the last 30 years by the Metropolitan Police. It's all an absolute scam. The whole of this Black Lives Matter thing, the whole idea of racism, is just a scam to prevent white people from organising together and for looking out for our own interests. And we will always be accused of racism. It doesn't matter how much we do for these people, we will always be accused of racism, because the fact of reality is we are different to them. Race is a biological fact. There are differences in the world. There are differences between mankind. There are differences between the different races, the same as there are differences between the different types of whale. And all the while that there are those differences, we are going to be accused of racism. The only way you can stop the accusations of racism and stop all discrimination, all prejudice, all of it, is to just separate the races. Just live in tune with the natural order. Live the same way that every other creature on earth lives, with its own kind. Instead of trying to force us all together into one territory with artificial bonds of supporting democracy or supporting British values as the only thing that unites us, we have something that unites us. We have our blood that unites us to our extended family. It should be that our bonds are based upon. It should be that our societies are based upon. And our societies were based upon that, black people would be so much happier. They would have everything that they are demanding. They're demanding to see more black people on TV, more black teachers, more black politicians. You could give them all of that. They could have everything that they are asking for. And they would be happy. And all we would have to do is just separate from them. We could just give them separate areas. If they didn't want to go back to Africa, we could just give them separate areas in Britain. There's plenty of enough space in America to give them separate areas. That is the only solution to this. And if we don't do that, then what we are seeing happening in America now is what we're going to see happening in every multicultural country in the world. And it's just going to get worse. And it's going to be the end of civilization. And it will have been destroyed through our failed attempt to fight the natural law, because that's what we're doing. We're trying to go against the natural world and against the natural law. And you just can't do that. We are natural beings. We are a part of the world, and we have to abide by the laws of the world the same as every other creature on earth has to. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.